I'm joined in the studio by a deputy head teacher and author, Stuart. Good morning. Would you like to just clarify your surname for me, please? We've been having a little bit of a sweepstake at Phoenix about how you pronounce the surname.
Yeah, good morning. No vowels, so everyone has an issue with that. It's Frid. Well, that's how we pronounce it. We could be wrong, but that's how we've been pronouncing it all our lives. So, Stuart Frid.
And you live locally?
Yep, Billericay boy, but Shenfield born and bred.
And we're going to be talking a little bit about encouraging children to read.
Yeah.
And preparing children for their reading exams. So if people listening have got youngsters and worried about them sort of getting a head start in life or maybe have reading problems, you're going to give us some recommendations.
Yeah, no magic bullet, but hopefully some ideas that parents can try. My passion originally comes from reading in school, and I remember being in primary school. We had this long corridor of books, and all the exciting books, the books with black and red and purple covers, with dragons and wizards, were down one end, and I was down the other end, and it just seemed like it would take years and years and years before you got to the exciting books. So my passion is trying to get exciting books to younger children and get them involved in reading.
So what is an exciting book if it's not dragons?
Well, exactly. No, that is exciting. And my books don't contain dragons, but they contain lots of other scary things as well. But the benefits of reading can't be sold enough. It enhances vocabulary, enhances memory, boosts analytical thinking, helps children empathise, reduces stress levels. Young readers are proven to be more successful later in life, helps prevent Alzheimer's. So reading is just a hugely beneficial thing. So if we can get kids reading, which is what I'd love to talk about, and get children reading, that's fantastic.
And do you have like some sort of starting age for children reading, so we say, those types of books? You say scary books. What's scary, and what sort of age and topics are we talking about?
My books, the books that I'm writing, I'm pitching to year fives and sixes, and they're at that age where they still want to be scared, but they love a good book as well. So that's the age that I've pitched at.
It's sort of 9 and 10, isn't it?
That's right. And if you think that books have to compete with nowadays, with how children can access things on YouTube and the computer games they see, and you know, they're pretty worldly, so I think books need to catch up. And you know, Sophie going on picnics isn't really going to cut it for them anymore, so I think you have to be quite dark to really grab their attention, and that's what I've tried to go for.
And are books like this cheap?
I think you pay for what you get, so yeah, it is quality. If you think how much a PS4 game costs now, a good book, I'm not going to sell this to the kids, am I? A good book is absolutely fantastic, and yeah, far, far cheaper.
And your day job is
yes.
A deputy head, so you're pretty much an expert on children and learning anyway, never mind being a writer of children's books.
Well, it is my day job, and I'm passionate about trying to get children to read. I run lots of groups with children, trying to get them to read more, increase their vocabulary, and yeah, I'm very passionate about that. And I think the best thing that parents can do is from a young age read with their children. And that's not, you know, making them read and forcing them to read, but reading books that are perhaps a little bit outside their ability, but reading to them, getting them really hooked and being passionate about it.
And just giving them a little push.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the mistake that lots of parents make when it comes to SATs is they'll buy all these books from W.H. Smith and, you know, the comprehension books, and they'll make them sit down for an hour a day and fill out these comprehension sheets. That's going to kill a child's enjoyment of reading, and they're not going to want to read as soon as those SATs are over. The best thing that a parent could do is get a good book, a book by Philip Pullman or Neil Gaiman or J.K. Rowling, and sit down with that child and read a chapter to them a night and discuss it. That's going to be far more beneficial, and the child's going to learn so much more than just sitting down and filling out a comprehension.
So would you say as a teacher that there's a problem with the syllabus, or is it just something extra that the parents can do?
I think this is something else that parents can do. I don't think there's anything wrong with the syllabus. I think some schools become SATs factories, and they do just get children sitting down and doing comprehensions, and that kills it. You have to have a balance. You have to have children enjoying reading. You have to get exciting books and get them passionate about reading. Because if they love reading, they're going to want to read more, and they're going to learn off their own backs.
Stuart Frid is my guest this morning. We were talking off air, actually, about corporal punishment, because we were both the same age, and I mentioned that there were still one or two teachers, this is like 1986, 87 time, that would occasionally give you a bit of a whack around the back of the head.
Yeah, I was just saying that I remember one of the teachers at our school had two slippers called Tom and Jerry that were up on a shelf, and they were the slippers that he used to hit children with. Now, no one ever saw him hit children with it, but just that fear that, that he could do it. Yeah, and that was absolutely fine. And I was telling another story about a boy who dropped his trousers in front of a girl, and then the head teacher made him come into the office and do the same to her. Like, how long would a head teacher last nowadays if they did that to a child? So, yeah, different age, different age.
The times, they are a-changing. We're also talking off-air about children who, because children can be very stubborn at times. They want to do this, they want to do that. If they show absolutely no interest in wanting to read at a time the parents say, right, we're going to sit down and read now. As a teacher and a parent, what's your approach to dealing with that situation?
The first thing I'd say is don't fight. It's not worth it. They'll just get switched off from reading. What do they like? Do they like computer games? Is there, I'm not even being funny here, is there a computer game you can play together? Even a game like Pokemon has got reams and reams and reams of sentences that you could read with a child. Is there a computer game guide that you can buy them, or a computer game magazine, or a comic? There's no such thing as bad reading. If a child gets passionate about reading and excited about reading, they're going to want to read other things afterwards. You know, so if you're trying to force Black Beauty onto a nine-year-old boy, that's probably not going to work. So start smaller. Start with comics. Start with, you know, a computer game magazine, you know, or a strategy guide, a Minecraft guide. Work from there and then build up to the novels.
Is there a problem, or do you see it as an advantage, if a child starts reading a book and gets a little bit ahead of its peers in the classroom?
The difference is huge. Children that can read, have a good vocabulary, fly. They exceed and go streets ahead of their peers, which is why it's really, really important to get all children reading. Children from the poorest backgrounds, when they're 16 years old, have a quarter of the vocabulary that other children do. And that obviously just affects their life choices, interviews, exams. They don't stand a chance. So trying to get these children to read in school, trying to build up their vocabulary, trying to get passionate about education is our main goal.
When you say poor backgrounds, obviously the home life is going to be difficult, but does that not also reflect on the school? Is the school not doing their job in some ways?
Well, absolutely, and that's why I think schools have to step in, because, you know, teachers can say, oh, that child never reads at home. Well, we know they don't read at home, so what are you as a teacher doing about it? You know, what extra support are you giving that child? What are you doing to engage them in reading? So, yeah, it does come down to the teacher if the parent's, you know, not going to be involved.
Will the school provide, say, a lunchtime or an after-school activity for situations like that, if they can actually get the child or the parent to agree to keep the child in for, say, an hour after school?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what our school does. What we try and do, though, is try not to affect their lunchtimes. Because if a child, you know, dragging a nine-year-old boy in off the playground, you know, when he's playing football to come in and read, he's just going to, you know, not be interested in reading. He's not going to be involved. Whereas if that's something that, you know, a teacher can support him in a small group, or that's something that the LSA or the TA that can do during lesson time, to just take him to one side and read one-to-one, that's going to be really, really powerful. We do a lot of work with the parents as well, just encouraging them and teaching them what they can do and providing them with materials.
So do you find the parents are grateful of the help you provide? Do they actually want to get into this and actually help their children out, or do they just say, well, if the teacher says you need to do that, then we'll do that?
Some parents are fantastic and they'll work really, really hard with you. Other parents, it's harder, and they're the ones, the children that you've got to work hardest with. In our school, we've just brought Spider-Man comic books which teach children phonics, and that's aimed at age 5 and 6. So it's just trying to grab what they like and get them passionate about that, because, you know, as fun as Biff and Kip and Chipper are, those books, you know, Spider-Man's going to grab their attention more. That's a book they're going to want to go over and read.
So what are your reading tips? Have you got a long list there of suggestions for parents to get their kids reading?
I have got some suggestions, and I think you touched on it just there, is don't patronise them. You know, books like The Boy in Striped Pyjamas or The Silver Sword, you know, children can get a lot from this, but if they're just left to read it on their own, they're not going to. If that's something you're going to have to take 10 minutes a day or 10 minutes every couple of days, you know, I'm a parent myself, I know how hard it is, but just 10 minutes every couple of days just to read a chapter with them, they'll get so much from that. I think the main thing I want to say is that there's no such thing as a bad thing to read. If they're reading, you know, and enhancing their vocabulary, that's fantastic. Explain new words to them, discuss characters, discuss what might happen next in the story. It is really, really useful. You know, I'll plug my book if you don't mind. The Lost and Drowned is the book that I've got, and I've written questions and activities that parents can do, but it's not aimed for children to be left alone to do themselves. That's, you know, discussion points and things that you could sit down with your child and do.